Amen. Our text of Scripture for this evening's meeting, you'll find there in the middle part of verse number 6 of Isaiah chapter number 9, where it says, His name shall be called a wonderful. His name shall be called a wonderful. Now, in our text here this evening, the prophet Isaiah is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, He who came to this world to save us from our sins. Isaiah the prophet ministered some 700 years before the birth of Christ. Indeed, of all the Old Testament prophets, none were to speak more of the Lord Jesus Christ than Isaiah himself. He is known to us as the evangelical prophet. He tells us about the birth of Christ back in chapter 7 in the verse 14. He says, There behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He tells us about the death of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53 in the verse number 5. He says, There of Christ he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And here in our text tonight in Isaiah chapter 9 in the verse number 6, we see how the prophet Isaiah highlights the wonder of the person of Christ. He says in our text, he says, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, friends, tonight, whenever we think of characters in the Scriptures like Moses and like David, like John the Baptist and like the Apostle Paul, we can say, yes, these were all wonderful Bible characters. Characters in Scripture through grace accomplished much for God and the cause of Christ and the ways of God. However, we can say tonight without fear of contradiction that the wonder and indeed the virtue of such men, it really pales into insignificance. Whenever you and I begin to contemplate the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God. Yes, it has been said of Christ, and rightly said, Behold, the half was not told. My speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ here in our text, the prophet Isaiah says, His name shall be called a wonderful. And friends, tonight at the close of this day, this Lord's Day, indeed this Christmas Day, it is these very words I want us to think about, and I want to set before you three reasons in particular why Christ is indeed wonderful as He is described in our text here this evening. We can say first of all tonight that Christ is wonderful because of what He has done in the past. And my, He is wonderful, yes, because of His eternal existence. You see, before His birth in Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ, He existed as the Son of God in eternity past, co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of Christ in his letter to the Colossians. He says of Christ, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Indeed, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ in our text tonight is referred to in the latter part here of verse 6 as the everlasting Father. He existed in eternity past. Again, you think of how He's described in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and the verse number 2. It says there, the same was in the beginning with God. Well, if you and I tonight stop and think of all the history of this world since the dawn of time, and we put it all together, we amass it, as it were, all together, it is but a very, as it were, a very minute drop in the ocean in comparison with Christ's eternal existence. It is minute indeed in comparison to Christ's existence in eternity past. Oh, He is wonderful tonight because of His eternal existence. As you think of Christ tonight, remember He is the eternal Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father. We can say further tonight that Christ is wonderful because of his incarnation. You see, the eternal Son of God was miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 1, verse 20, the angel said to Joseph, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." The Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Again, think of our world tonight. Think of what God has done throughout this world since the beginning of time. God has performed many, many, many mighty miracles. He spake this world into existence. But you know, the greatest miracle of all is that Christ, the eternal Son of God, should become flesh and should come into this world, into this scene of time as God incarnate. This is, if you like, the miracle of all miracles. Now we can say further tonight also, not only is Christ wonderful because of his eternal existence, because of his incarnation, he is also wonderful because of his life. And I want you to stop tonight and think in your heart of Christ. Think of Christ. Examine the earthly life of Christ. Put the earthly life of Christ under the microscope, so to speak, of your mind's eye, and in every aspect of his life, in every angle of his life, from the time that he was born in Bethlehem till he ascended up on high, you must say with Pontius Pilate of old, the Roman governor at the trial of Christ, "I find in him no fault at all." You'll find no fault, no blemish, no spot in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no person like the Lord Jesus Christ. None to compare with him. He went about doing good. That was the mark of his entire life. He committed no sin. He could do no sin. Think of how God the Father spoke from heaven at his baptism. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why was God the Father well pleased with Christ? Because in him there was no sin. He was the altogether lovely one. Oh, turn in your Bible, please, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want you to see what Peter says to us here about the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 2. He speaks in verse 21 about the sufferings of Christ. And how terrible were the sufferings of Christ. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2 in the verse number 21, he says, "Christ also suffered for us." Think of the sufferings of Christ. Think of the awful treatment that was inflicted upon him from the hands of evil and ungodly men. And it is in that context, and the setting of the sufferings of Christ upon the cross, where men were doing their worst to the person of Christ, that Peter says these words about Christ's person in verse 22, the very next verse. He says, "He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." When men were mocking him, spitting upon him, cursing him and jeering him and piercing his side and his hands and his feet, it says of Christ, "He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He never spoke an ill word from his lips, from his tongue. Oh, how wonderful is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, he is the complete opposite to you and I and to everyone else in this world, to you and I and all the rest of mankind. How are we described? The Bible says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God." We are all sinners by nature, by practice, and because of our sin by nature and practice, we are separated from God. We are condemned already to a lost eternity and hell itself. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It says tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. The just deserts for our sin. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no sin. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no blemish. Oh, Pilate was most right when he said of Christ, I find in him no fault at all. Wonderful in his existence, wonderful in his incarnation, wonderful in his life. We can say also tonight that Christ is wonderful in his death and in his resurrection. Think of those words in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 of that passage. It says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And this was all in accordance with the plan of God, the will of God the Father, and his plan of redemption for sinful man. Christ came, and he lived, and he went to the cross. He shed his blood. He died a cruel death for sins that were not his own. For the Bible says, the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was our substitute. He died. He was laid in a tomb. And the third day he rose again, never to die again. He says, I am he that liveth forevermore. And on the cross of Calvary, what did he do? He purchased for us, made a way of salvation from sin. For you and for me. The Bible says, for God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We could do nothing for our sin. We could do nothing with our sin. We're totally weak, helpless, hopeless. But in our hopeless, lost condition, Christ came. He came and he died on the cross. He rose again. And he purchased, he gave his life a ransom for many. He made a way of redemption from sin for us. And by his resurrection from the dead, it proves that God the Father accepted his sacrifice on the behalf of sinners. Christ himself cried out on the cross, it is finished. The Bible says this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Oh, men and women, young people tonight, see something of the wonder of Christ. Isaiah says his name is wonderful. He's wonderful because of what he has done in the past. Tell me tonight, as you sit in this meeting, is he wonderful to you, to your heart, to your mind, to your soul? Can you say yes with Isaiah the prophet? Of Christ, his name is wonderful. Yes, he's wonderful, yes, because of what he's done in the past. But secondly, tonight we can say further that Christ is wonderful because of what he is in the present, what he is in the present. Child of God, yes, once Christ meant very little to us. He was just a name. Perhaps maybe just a swear word or a curse word. He meant nothing to us. We saw no attraction in Christ. We saw no beauty in Christ. My, we had no desire for Christ in our hearts and lives and souls. But then the Lord began to work in our hearts. And by the Holy Spirit's power, he convicted us of our sin, of our condition as a lost, hell-deserving, guilty sinner before God. And he enlightened our eyes and our minds and the knowledge of Christ. He caused us to see our need of Christ as Savior. And by his grace, by his almighty power, he brought us to that place of repentance toward God. That place of repentance over sin. He brought us to that place of saving faith, saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And coming by faith to Christ as Savior, we found him no disappointment. We found him to be true to his word. For the great promise of Christ has been, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, with the hymn writer tonight, we can say of Christ, I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love. And thus he bound me to him. Dear believer in Christ, that's your testimony tonight. Drawn with the cords of love and by the grace of God, by the cords of his love, your heart has been bound to Christ and Christ has been bound to you.
And coming to Christ as Savior, what have you found in Christ? What have we obtained? What has been the treasure we have received? We have found pardon for all of our sins. Back in Isaiah, or over in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, there the Lord says to those who trust him, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. Think of that, dear child of God, your sins blotted out through the blood of the cross. In coming to Christ for salvation, you've found peace, peace with God, the Bible says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice one of the great titles here to Christ at the end of our text. He's referred to as the Prince of Peace, the Source of Peace, the Author of Peace. Out in the world tonight, there is no peace. There's trouble, there's turmoil, there's chaos, there's heartache, there's confusion. But praise God, in Christ we find peace, perfect peace. My Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In coming to Christ we find power, grace. Paul, writing to the believers in the church at Ephesus, he said these words in Ephesians chapter number 1 and the verse 19. He says, the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe. And God has made known his power to us through Christ and giving us grace and strength to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord. Then we found his presence. We've known his presence. The Lord's great promise to those who trust him is, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The old hymn writer says, the comforter abides. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He abides. Oh, child of God, this is your portion tonight in Christ. The comforter, the blessed Holy Spirit himself abiding, dwelling in your heart. Then we've found guidance, God to guide us through this dark world by his Spirit, by his Word. Notice again one of the great titles given to Christ in our text. He's referred to that as the Counselor. Someone who counsels you, he gives you guidance, he gives you direction. That is the Lord's portion to his people in the maze of this world. He is our counselor. Oh, this is why Isaiah could say his name is wonderful in the Psalms. In Psalm 32, the Lord says to his people, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And then also we can say further, as our great high priest, Christ has gone up into heaven, and there he continually prays for us and for all his people. In the book of Romans chapter 8, it says there, Christ at the right hand of God maketh intercession for us, praying for his people in heaven. Turning your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7 and the verse number 25. And look at this tremendous statement here about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Underline those words in your Bible, child of God. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, Christian, it's a great comfort to know in your time of need, in your time of trial. It's a great comfort and blessing to know and to hear that others perhaps are praying for you. What a ministry that is for God's people to pray for one another. It's a great blessing and encouragement to know that others are interceding for you at the throne of grace in your time of need. But you know, the greatest comfort of all is to know that Christ is continually praying for you, Christian, in every need, in every circumstance, in every burden, in every trial and loss. He continually prays for you. In fact, Christian, he never forgets you. He says in the book of Isaiah 49, verse 15, he says, yet will I not forget thee. Oh, he prays and he pleads continually for his people and for his church. How wonderful is Christ! No one to compare with Christ. Dear unsaved friend, tonight in our gathering, let me say this. These are the blessings of grace. Yes, that you too will receive if you yield to Christ as Savior. If you repent of your sin and you trust Him to be your own and personal Savior, you will know the pardon, the forgiveness of all of your sins. You will know peace with God. You will know grace and strength to live the Christian life. You'll know His presence in your life. You'll know His guidance in your life. And Christ, yes, will become your great high priest, and He will pray for you day by day. Moment by moment, the hymn writer says, I'm kept in His love. Was it any wonder the psalmist David says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. On this final gospel meeting of 2022, if you are still not saved, then I urge you now tonight to come by faith to Christ and call upon Him to save you, to have mercy. Yes, taste and see the riches of His grace. Heed the words of the hymn writer who says, why not come to Him now? Perhaps you've heard the message of the gospel Sabbath by Sabbath throughout 2022, yet still you're unsaved. Oh, friend, heed the message of the hymn writer. Why not? Why not come to Him now, tonight, at the close of 2022, and accept God's wonderful offer of grace and mercy, salvation through the blood of the Lamb, by trusting Christ and accepting Him by faith to be your own and personal Savior. He's wonderful because of what He has done and what He is in the past and what He is in the present. But one final thought tonight in connection with this little text. Christ is wonderful because of what He is in the future. Because of what He is in the future. Turn with me your Bible over to John's Gospel and to the chapter number 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Look with me there at verses 1 to 3 of this passage. And here we have some of Christ's final words that He spoke to His people before His own death upon the cross. And just look at what He says. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there in those words you see how Christ promises to come back again to this world in power and in great glory. Yes, when He returns to this earth, and what a day that will be, He's going to take all His redeemed people into heaven. The dead in Christ will be raised with a body that is sinless and immortal, and such will be reunited with their perfected souls in heaven. And indeed, if we are alive when Christ returns, then our bodies and our souls will be transformed, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that transformation will mean sinless perfection, and we will be taken up into heaven, into glory. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Thessalonians and the chapter number 4, and you'll see these things for yourself from what Paul says here to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and look at what he says in verses 16 and 17 of that chapter. He says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. As He has come the first time, He is coming the second time again. And He shall descend with a shout. It will not be silent. All the world, every eye will see and know that Christ returns. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. It will be such a loud shout that even the dead in Christ will rise from the grave. Then in verse 17 it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, note those words. So shall we ever be with the Lord.
This is our great hope as Christians. And this proves to you and I, without any shadow of a doubt, that the Lord will never, ever cast off his people. Indeed, this highlights the great truth of our text tonight, where the Lord is described in Isaiah 9, verse 6, as the everlasting Father, a Father to his people, an eternal Father to his people, a Father who cares for his people, who keeps his people, who will never, ever cast off his people. But as well as coming back for his own at his return, Christ is coming back again to do something else. He's also going to judge the world. He's going to judge the ungodly and the unsaved for their sins. Christ himself speaks of this in John 5, verse 22, and he says, "The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And in that judgment, all who are unsaved, all who have rejected Christ as Savior, they will hear that awful sentence from the very lips of Christ. He who was born in Bethlehem's manger, who comes back as King and as Judge, they will hear those words from his lips, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." What solemn words those are from the lips of Christ. If you look there at Isaiah chapter 9 again in the verse number 6, you'll see there a mention made of the sovereign power of the Lord in the middle of that verse 6, where it says, "And the government," it says, shall be upon his shoulder." That speaks of the sovereignty of the Lord, his sovereign power, his sovereign authority. And such is his sovereign power, his sovereign authority, that when Christ returns, he will put down all ungodliness. And he will set up his everlasting kingdom. And this world will be purged of all its sin and all its rebellion before God. 2 Peter 3 verse 13 says, "There will be a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." That's the sovereign power of Christ, the babe of Bethlehem at work. Speaking of Christ, Revelation 11 verse 15 says, "And he shall reign forever and ever and ever." His reign will know no end. Dear unsaved friend, let me say this, that if you are to be spared on God's judgment day, if you are to be with God's people forevermore in God's kingdom of heaven, then now in time, you must forsake your sins, repent, confess your sins to God, and trust in Christ. Trust in Christ's atoning blood to save your soul and wash away your sins. Praise God if you do. Yes, God will save you from your sin, from a lost eternity in hell, from judgment. He will pardon all your sin. He'll make you his child forevermore. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, in this final gospel meeting of 2022, look to Christ, trust him. Praise God, when you know Christ and you trust him as Savior, then you too will be able to say with assurance, as Isaiah did of old, "His name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is wonderful. He is indeed the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 84. The hymn number 84 in the page 209 of your hymn book. "Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name, seeking for me, seeking for me." The hymn number 84 will stand as we sing, singing it with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. close our meeting with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, tonight for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee for help given in the ministry of Thy word. And we thank Thee tonight we can say of Christ that His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We thank Thee for each one who, because of Thy grace tonight, can rejoice in the wonder of Christ as being their peace, being their pardon, being their hope, being their all in all. But for any, Lord, in this meeting or any listening in online, and they have never yet tasted of the riches of grace that is to be found in Christ, Lord, convict them, disturb the sleep of death even tonight. And on this final Lord's Day of 2022, may they come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Accept of our thanks for Thy presence. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us, we pray. Keep Your hand upon us for good throughout the week that lies before us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen.